May the words of my lips, may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. If you want to know where you're going and how you might get there, it helps if you've got a good, clear view. And perspective in life is just as important. It helps us to know what's true, what isn't, where we should go on our own life's journey. Someone lost out in the wilderness might seek to climb to higher ground to get a perspective and see their way out. Someone by a fence might lean up to see what's over the other side. But height isn't the only thing that gives us perspective. Anything which takes us out of our usual surroundings, either physically or in our hearts and minds, it can give us perspective. I think travel, well used, can be like that. Encountering other people, other cultures, other perspectives can help us to evaluate our own. We're off for a major life event, the birth of a child, or the loss of someone close to us. People will often say it puts everything in perspective. After our first child was born, Alison and I realised we now saw the world differently, and it was somewhat intimidating. 25 years later, she's still intimidating. But those things can remind us of what truly matters in life, where we ought to put our energies, our priorities, even our wealth for that matter. But truth is, such changes in perspective rarely last for long. There's a human propensity to seek the familiar and the comfortable. And soon enough, things return to normal and we forget that clear vision. It's a bit like if, like me, you're a glasses wearer and you get a new prescription and some new spectacles. As soon as you put them on, everything looks startlingly clear and sharp and bright and colourful. But soon you get used to it, and you don't notice that benefit anymore. Yet, for a while, the world was revealed in a new and different way. The Transfiguration story we've just heard read from the Mark's Gospel is one of the most important events in the Gospel. Yet it's only witnessed by a handful of disciples, not even the full 12 whom Jesus has called and seemed to form his inner circle. The contrast with the somewhat breathless, earthy narrative of the rest of Mark's Gospel is striking. This transcendent Jesus seems quite different from the earthly man the disciples have been following up till now. Yet this event is of vital importance to ensure that they don't miss out on the divinity that lies at the heart of his humanity. It's a remarkable truth, but one which only a few are able at that moment to perceive. And the writer of the Gospel makes it clear that this is a special insight, one that only who have at that time the capacity to perceive the truth may grasp. I guess they're especially close to Jesus. Maybe they're better at listening to him. Even then, these disciples need to be taken out of their usual context to see something that's been right before their eyes all the rest of the time, but they haven't been able to see the truth of who Jesus is. So why at the end of that little story, a shortened version of what we find in some of the other Gospels, why does Jesus tell them not to tell anyone? The messianic secret in Mark's Gospel has bewildered many. But it's generally thought to indicate Jesus' unwillingness to draw unnecessary attention to himself in an inappropriate way. He came to serve, ultimately to die. But he did not come to be a celebrity. His true and transcendent nature needs to be understood in the light and followed in the light of the Passion and the Resurrection. That's the Lenten journey we're soon to embark on. However, it's important we never forget his true identity as the Son of God, the Messiah, and that we allow that perspective to transform everything else, that Jesus may take priority in how we work out our faith and follow God. As we approach Lent, we're called to set aside time to be with Jesus, to listen to him and renew our relationship with him. Now, I don't know if you're undertaking any Lenten disciplines. They can be useful things to do. But the original purpose of such disciplines was that we gave something up so that we could use the time instead to pray, to reflect on the character and stories of God. Not to create a void, but to create time to use for something important. Now, we might not be able to climb mountains. There is a very sad dearth of those in Essex, even worse in Cambridgeshire. We might not be able to go anywhere different, though it's not a bad opportunity if you can to go somewhere you've not been before, to see what you can see that is different, to reflect on your faith. But whatever we're able to do, it's important to seek to find a new perspective on the faith we may feel we know so well. For some, that might come through a Lenten discipline. We deprive ourselves of one or two usual comforts. We find time to pray, to read, to reflect. It might help with a Lent course when somebody introduces us to thoughts we hadn't thought of for ourselves before. It can come in so many different ways. None is particularly right or wrong. And it can still come through a change in our life's perspective. Maybe through good fortune and gain. Maybe through brokenness and loss. But like Elisha, and like those disciples on the mountaintop, the real issue is not what happens there at that moment of transcendence, but what do they take with it into their journey ahead? I wonder how those disciples were different when they came down from the mountaintop and how long it lasted. We still have Peter denying Jesus. We still have all the disciples running away when he is arrested. And we should take comfort in that. It would be nice if our faith was transformed so that we were perfect. But thankfully that doesn't happen. Our frail humanity is still allowed a space in God's great plan. And God embraces us, all of us, the imperfections included, and allows us to walk with him through Lent, towards Easter, towards resurrection and beyond. And we, all who will choose to follow him, are invited to find a fresh perspective about Jesus. The Canadian poet and singer, songwriter Leonard Cohen has a line in his song Anthem. There's a crack in everything. It's where the light gets in. The cracks in our lives are really important because so often that's when we can see things clearly. Look for the cracks and see what they reveal about Jesus and where he is at work in the world and in you. Yes, even you. Then listen and follow. Amen.